Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve and your midweek political check-in, broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform. We're slogging through another political swamp thick with nonsense and bad intentions. Let's cut through the poo-poo and throw a little light on the chaos before it buries us all. We don't care if you chew gum during the podcast, but no blowing bubbles. All righty then, without further ado, here's Nick and Bubbles.
Oh, boy.
Steve. Holy moly. Take it away, gentlemen.
All right. I feel bad that I'm instructing people not to blow you. You know, I never really thought about that, but I feel bad about it.
That applies to, and I think it's being ignored.
Yeah?
I mean, based on factual evidence I have, it's definitely being ignored.
Okay. Well, hey, raise your volume a little bit, will you?
I will crank it.
Crank
it. Is that better?
Give me an 11 there, and welcome to the show. The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. People already rolling into the chat. We do the show live on Tuesdays and Fridays. And just to prove it to you, yeah, 2 minutes after 3 o'clock here on the West Coast.
I got somebody raising a martini glass for us already. Steve Smith.
Oh, good.
Steve Smith.
Good to see the Steves come together.
Yeah, you must be on the East Coast there where it's just after six. It's not quite martini time here.
It's not me, Steve. That's Steve, yeah. Hey, where'd our names go? We used to have our names on the screen. That's weird.
Oh, they were there before we started the broadcast. Dude, we've been having all kinds. Oh, there they are.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's when the comments go up. Sorry.
Oh, that's right. I see.
Good evening from Scotland. There you go. Oh, chiming in.
Very nice.
Ooh, Tennessee looking good so far. I don't know if they mean they're in Tennessee or not, but yeah, big election going on today in Tennessee, so that's cool.
We hope and some of us pray for a blue tidal wave.
Yeah, listen, I mean, this whole thing in Tennessee would be quite the victory if the Democrats pull off a win. I don't expect it at all, but even if it's close, I would consider that to be a win.
Well, listen, Steve, in a world gone crazy and a world gone mad, to expect anything in this day and age is a fool's errand.
Yeah, that's fair. We got Maine checking in. All right. It's roll call time, everybody, because, yeah, we're live. And I love when people are excited to get in on the live show because we take the comments. Nick and I started this thing on the radio about 25 years ago.
Yeah.
So, and it was a call-in radio show, and that was the Vocal Minority, the audience out there. And now it's switched to the comments. So get in on the fun. Hello, Long Island, New York.
All right. What up, Long Island? I'd like to try your pizza.
There you go. Another one. I finally caught you live. So, yeah, cool. You're all in on the fun. And it is Tuesday, but God, this feels like Friday already. It's been a long week, 2 days in.
No, dude. I don't know if that's because last week was cut kind of short. I mean, it seemed just as busy, but, you know.
Was that Thanksgiving or what? Jeez.
Yeah.
This whole, you know, listen, this first year of Trump has been the longest 50 years of our lives, so.
I'm watching my aging, you know. We have podcasts that we can go back to when all this shit started. And I have aged. Right. You know, I feel like, you know, when you see the president beginning and end of term and, you know, like, yeah. I love to see Obama, like how gray he went, you know.
Yeah, a president is supposed to get gray because they're supposed to, like, be stressed out because they're working so hard and they care so much. And I can't tell if Trump just is not working, does not care, or if it's just all the fake spray tan and fake dye, like – who knows what's going on with him?
I don't want to start any conspiracy theory stuff here, but I have a firm belief in the fact that he has some sort of embalming fluid in his body. Have you ever seen his nose, like, up close? It looks like ground hamburger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did he get shot in the nose? Is that where that bullet went?
Because no.
I'm still looking for some evidence of a scar somewhere on his big, fat, orange head.
There's been stuff coming out about that as of late. You know, people are always talking or whatever about the assassination attempt. And I don't know. It's hard to report on it because we don't have any factual information on it. But there is a lot of things that make you go,
Interesting. Yeah.
So, but there is plenty of factual news about unfactual news that we have to report on today. So let's hop into it, y'all.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
That was Nick handling the news.
We haven't got
factual news about unfactual news.
Yeah, I think it's actual factual news because we tear the unfactual news that Trump, you know, spews all over this great nation and try and correct it. So
look at this one. Hello from China. Just to let you know, your current administration is just a laughing stock for all of China.
Wow.
Well, yeah, same over here, at least for a good chunk of the country. So there you go. I love the Chinese Trump impersonator, by the way. Did a good video on him recently. So.
Oh, I haven't seen that, dude. Is it pretty good?
Yes, indeed.
Huh.
Here's somebody's asking, where's Chip Franklin? He's here on the channel, along with Kenny and Tony and everyone else, so go find them. And before we get to the news, I have a interesting and exciting little story to share with you.
Oh, yeah, please do.
Nick and I have been on this platform now, Really American, for, I don't know, 6-7 months or something, give or take, 7 or 8 months now.
Yeah.
And the channel is growing rapidly, and our influence is spreading. I'm talking about the whole channel. We've added some new hosts of late, so you got a lot of new faces on the channel. Chip is the OG. He's the original guy on the channel here.
Fellow radio brother, right? We both come from the broadcasting world, so we had that in common right away.
Yeah, Chip, Nick, and I are the radio guys here. And, you know, Kenny and Tony, you know, kind of the original founding fathers here. But speaking of being on the radio, like there's a joke in the world of radio about you're famous in a 9-mile radius in your town because, you know, radio is a localized thing. And over the years, you and I were on in Seattle for 10 years. You were on a little longer. I was on in my, you know, area around here for nearly 20 years. You were on here with me for, what, 14, 15 years, somewhere around there, like a long time. Point is, occasionally from that localized radio notoriety, I would get recognized. I was going around town today, walked into a store, and a guy stopped me and said, "Hey, Really American, aren't you Steve Harness?"
Oh, dude, that's fantastic.
What the hell? I honestly thought he was punking me. I was like, "Are you joking?" He's like, "No, I watch you guys. How cool." He was like, "I actually thought you were from around here because I was sure I recognized your voice, but I didn't know what you look like." And yeah, you know, I was like, "Holy crap."
Yeah. Well, it shows you the reach, okay, of, I mean, just on social media, you know, like we just had someone check in from China. We have people check in from all around the world, which is a great thing. I got to give big kudos and congrats to my brother from another mother who yesterday interviewed Lev Parnas. And
who's that?
Who is Lev?
No, who's your brother from another mother?
Oh, it's you, dude. It's Steve Harness. Where is he?
Steve Harness.
That's right.
That's right.
Fantastic interview. That video is up on the Really American platform, and I just really recommend watching it. Dude, I watched it a few times yesterday because I think what was said in it was so important, and I don't want to give a bunch away to people who haven't watched it, but getting some of that inside information from somebody who used to be on the other side of all of this, you know, well, he used to work hand in hand with Trump, so
yeah.
Getting to hear him talk, and when you wrap the interview, he talked about just what you just mentioned. Like, people are watching. People are taking note. Yeah. And the more you get vocal, the more you reach out, the more we keep plugging away, the more minds we reach. So, great interview. And, I think it's important for everybody in the chat and on this platform to watch it for sure and share it with your friends.
I appreciate that. That is high praise coming from you. And, that sort of fell in my lap yesterday. Lev Parnas is a fan of the channel. He's got some connections here. And, I got a chance to talk to him. We actually talked for like an hour, and I was only able to use about 15 minutes of it.
Right.
But I have some more clips that at some point, maybe on the Friday show, we'll play some. Because he had some interesting comments about Putin and Melania and some other stuff. But
nice.
Yeah, he made some very interesting comments. I mean, the thing he said about Trump potentially using this war in Venezuela, which is a made-up war, which is something Lev, when he was on the dark side, was part of this plan to, you know, wag the dog, fake a war, go into Venezuela, but that Maduro was in a weak position back then and is not anymore. And, so I was talking to Lev. He brought up his son, Aaron Parnas, who a lot of people are fans of here on this channel, and you know, listen, a few people gave me a little grief about, you know, those guys were Trumpers. Why would you bring them on? And like you and I were talking off air, like we're trying to get people out of the mega cult. We're trying to get people to see the light.
Yeah.
So when somebody does, And Lev has made it very clear he's trying to make amends for what he now knows was, you know, terrible mistakes. Like, I think you have to embrace that, okay?
I was telling you yesterday, I see the same stuff with Aaron Parnas all the time, that people say, like, you know, he used to be Republican. Yeah, Leah, thank God, dude. Thank God that now he is fighting for us, because we see how effective he is with his social media, with his connections, and with his words. So, like, thank God. Like, what are we going to do? Be just, hey, you got a scarlet letter on you. We're never going to let you into the club. It's exactly what we want to happen. It's what we're fighting for each and every day. So when the midterms roll around, we can do some fucking shit.
Yes. And his main point about, you know, getting vocal about talking about all of this is that Trump is susceptible to public opinion, but more so his cronies, the sycophants around him, yeah, particularly in the Senate and in the House, that if he's going to declare martial law because we've got a war in Venezuela and he's going to claim that there's narco terrorists trying to invade Chicago, so we got to do martial law, we should postpone elections because the narcos are coming after us. Like, he can only get away with that crap if all of the sycophants in the Senate and the Congress and the DOJ are all on his, you know, if they have his back. So his point was, put the pressure on, because some of the foundation he has built underneath him of all these yes men may in fact crumble, and then we are, you know, dethroning him that way.
Yeah, and if you watched anything from the Oval Office today, I mean, Trump was all over the place today, but I mean, they did this stupid little thing where, I didn't catch the very beginning of it. I came in on it live a little bit late, but it sounded like they were giving, you know, when you go around the table at Thanksgiving and tell, you know, your family what you're thankful for?
Yep.
That's what it sounded like, dude. So they were telling President Trump what they're thankful for, and it all related back to him. They were just licking his balls for as long as I could take, dude. I had to get out because I was just like, this is crazy to me.
That's how what they do in all of those meetings, and it's completely, you know, North Korea-style stuff where they're all licking the taint of our dear leader. It's disgusting. But, yeah, I mean, that was the other thing Lev brought up. In the first administration, he had some actual adults in the room, some career professionals that would not let him get away with some of these things. So Trump has very specifically put nothing but sycophant yes men in control of everything, because a Pete Hegseth will commit war crimes for him. Kristi Noem will beat the crap out of immigrants for him. Like, you know, his WWE woman will dismantle the Department of Education. Like, that's what's going on. So, yeah, the bad news is Trump's a major narcissist. The good news is we can use that against him, and that was kind of Lev's main point.
Think about this, dude. All the people that surround him in his cabinet, I was thinking this today when I was watching them all praise him. RFK was in there. He was like, thank you, Mr. President, you know, like just worshiping him. Marco obviously sitting right next to him. The things that he said about these people, like little tiny Marco, you know, like they've all just, they're in the web now and they're playing nicely with the spider.
That was the other, and it's my last Lev point, then we can move on to our news. You know, he brought up the fact that today in Russia, we've got Witkoff and Jared Kushner over there trying to negotiate a peace deal for the Ukraine. And he was like, he won't send Marco Rubio to Russia to have that discussion, because Marco Rubio is the Secretary of State. He's an established Republican. In other words, he doesn't want somebody in the real Republican Party to hear whatever dirt Putin may convey.
Wow.
So he has to send sycophants like Witkoff and Kushner because they'll keep whatever dirty secrets still a secret. But Marco Rubio may grow a spine or, you know, say to someone else in the Republican Party. So, and I heard a lot of people in the news today trying to ask that, like, why the hell is Witkoff and Kushner going over there? Well, that's why. And Lev, you know, was spot on with that, that, you know, Putin does have something on Trump. Which Lev said that he and frickin' Hunter Biden are working on a little piece to expose some of this.
So, wow.
Good stuff to come. So we'll get there.
I've told you before, dude, I told you last night, if you haven't watched the documentary To Russia From Lev, or To Russia With Lev, I think is what it's called. And there's also a great documentary about Hunter Biden out there that was done where he's apologized for his wrongdoings in life and stuff like that. To see some of these guys come back and talk about this is really incredible. So
Yeah, absolutely.
There you
Scary times we're living through. So, yeah, I brought up Pete Hegseth, war crimes. I love it when we're sort of proven right, Nick, because you and I have been talking about these boat strikes for months and that this certainly seems like flat-out murder.
Yes.
And now, I mean, today, boy, that is just all the talk in the news cycle that, yeah, this absolutely starts to seem like war crimes when he did this double tap thing. And we've even got Republicans that seem to be outraged and are saying, if this is true, yeah, it's a war crime.
Yeah, that's completely right. And not to keep talking about Lev, but it's another thing he brought up yesterday that, yes, you are starting to see some of the Republican Party crumble around some of this shit because it's hard to look the other way on this stuff. Now, even before the double tap, Weeks said, this is straight out murder. Like, what the hell is going on? And then the double tap happens. And, yeah, it's just nuts. So, yeah, we got a little video. We'll get into the first one. Hegseth talking, Trump talking. Let's see it.
I'm not sure either, sir.
But down 91% by sea.
We've had a bit of a pause because it's hard to find boats to strike right now. Which is the entire point, right? Deterrence has to matter, not arrest and hand over and then do it again. The rinse and repeat approach of previous administrations. This is meant to get after that approach.
You'll notice no one in that room. Because, this is like when you have somebody come and see you do stand-up comedy and he's just there to laugh, you know, at your mark in the audience. That every time they laugh in the Oval Office, I just think, you despicable leeches, dude. Yeah. What he said is not funny on any level. So if you really analyze what's going on here, yeah, we're murdering, could be, would be, innocent people.
Yeah, listen, I mean, we've come a long ways because last week, Hegseth was saying this is all fake news. I think it was Sunday. Trump was like, I don't think Hegseth would have ordered the second strike. I wouldn't have wanted that. And then by Monday, they're admitting it, and they threw this admiral under the bus. I mean, this freaking tweet that Hegseth sent out. Hold on, I wasn't planning on reading
this. I got it on a video.
Oh, the actual tweet where he throws him under the bus? All right.
This may be something different. Watch this. This is just what the president said a day ago, and this is a tweet from Pete Hegseth. You may have something different.
And President Trump said, no, we're taking the gloves off. We're taking the fight to these designated terror organizations, and it's exactly what we're doing. So we're stopping the drugs, we're striking the boats, we're defeating narco terrorists, and we're standing.
And you may say one thing, that drugs coming in through the sea by sea are down 91%. And I don't know who the 9% is.
I'm not sure either, sir.
But down 91%.
Another made-up statistic, by the way.
Well, you noticed it always changes. They were down 70, they were down 80, now they're
91%. That's a very specific number, but
yeah.
The tweet, I just found it here. So okay. I just think it's funny. So Hegseth yesterday tweeted out, let's make one thing crystal clear. Admiral Mitch Brady, Bradley, is an American hero, a true professional, and has my 100% support. I stand by him and the combat decisions that he has made on September 2nd's mission and all other since. So he's basically like, he's just throwing him under the bus. Like, I fully believe in this American hero who he made the decisions.
Unbelievable. Unreal, dude.
I mean, what happened to the buck stops here? What happened to a president or the Secretary of Defense, not war, I refuse to say it.
Like, yeah.
And it doesn't even work that way. I mean, there is a chain, and you can get in trouble up and down that chain.
Of course.
Even if this admiral ordered it, he was still taking orders from above. And after Hegseth said all this was fake news, we have gotten this video of him on Fox News. I don't know if you have that, but, you know, right after the September 2nd strike, he admitted that he was watching the whole fucking thing live.
No, I don't have that. But it's,
well, that's what he said.
Yeah, they keep going back and forth. This is that video that you were commenting on of Trump saying that he doesn't really have any idea. We've never had a president that about serious shit that's going down in not only our country, but our world, says, I don't really know about that, you know?
On the minute for the boat strike, if there were a second strike that killed wounded people wounded in the first strike, are you thinking that would be
number one, I don't know that that happened. And
Pete said he did not want them. He didn't even know what people were talking about. So we'll look at, we'll look into it. But no, I wouldn't have wanted that, not a second strike. The first strike was very lethal. It was fine if there were two people around. But Pete said that didn't happen.
2 hours later.
All right, I'm going to pause this, dude. Pete Hegseth tweeted this out.
Yeah, so this Franklin cartoon. I mean, how fucking disgusting. I mean, even if he's trying to claim he knows nothing, which Trump just contradicted himself. He was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. But Pete said the first strike was good. But I don't even know what you're referring to, the second one. But the whole thing was good and legal. Like,
completely. Yeah.
And then, yes, Hegseth sending out this Franklin cartoon, which, of course, the author of Franklin is out today saying, don't fucking share my little turtle guy with this garbage. But yeah, he's making fun of it. Even again, if he's trying to claim he's innocent, you're still killing people.
Yes, 100%.
And this is the guy that, you know, is part of this weird religious cult of ultra Christianity where women have no rights and yeah. God is good. And here he is making fun of him killing people, which yeah. we all know goddamn well he did commit a war crime. And I mean, he's guilty of sin.
What? But here's the question. Now what? You know?
Like, that's a great question.
Now what, dude? Because I keep saying, oh, yeah, this is murder, and it's obvious. And now, especially because of the double tap, ears are really starting to perk up. Now what?
Well, have you seen the follow-up cartoons people have made with AI? Franklin goes to The Hague, and he's, like, on trial with the handcuffs on
no.
in front of the International Tribunal.
No, like, fantastic.
That's what comes next. Oh. I mean, here's the good and the bad. As far as domestically goes, Trump could, and I predict will, pardon everybody involved in this.
Sure.
Because this would be a national thing, and I believe I've heard a few different experts say that he could do that. However, you can't pardon yourselves from the international tribunals. And the United Nations has already said that this is not legal and that they are investigating. And this is why Putin is, you know, got an international arrest warrant for The Hague, because it can work that way. So, you know, there could be a greater accountability. And I know we have the world watching us right now. So do something, for the love of God.
Yeah.
You got nothing to lose. Like, fucking, there has to be accountability. And we're not doing it in America in the voting booth. And we've elected a king who can let themselves off the hook. So somebody needs to.
Yeah. Somebody needs to stand up and fight back. And I mean, you know, figuratively, because I do think we're heading for a war here. You know,
we absolutely are. And like this guy says, unless Congress grows a pair, that will only happen if we can win the midterms next year.
Yeah.
Then we could actually impeach the guy. So that would be a great step. But in the meantime, no, I mean, listen, back to Lev. Like he said, this is the plan they came up with back in 2019. And they're going to slow roll this whole thing, but they need a war prior to the midterm elections next year. They need to get the gas and the oil and claim it's going to help with everything around here. And, you know, some Republican congresswoman from Florida, she just said that, yeah, the invasion is imminent. It's going to happen very soon. Hmm. And I completely believe that.
Yeah.
I can just only hope the fact that it's becoming so fucking obvious to everybody that perhaps they won't. But they seem pretty committed to this. And this secret Oval Office meeting yesterday, that again, Lev was the first to go public and blow that out of the water.
Yeah.
And then every other news or, you know, organization confirmed it. Like, it was a bunch of sycophants and they're all trying to figure out what to do next. So they do have a plan and we'll see what it is. But I don't think it's going to take too much longer to see it.
You don't think it could have anything to do with Project 2025, do you?
I think everything has something, directly or indirectly.
Yes.
But Trump's never heard of that, Nick, so no. I don't see how that could be a thing.
He's commented on it several times, but he's never really heard of it.
He's hired everybody who wrote the stupid thing, but never heard of it. What is this, 2025?
Yeah. Well, like we said before, as we were opening the show, like part of what we do is try and bring some facts to unfactual things that are being reported by our very own White House. I don't know if you saw this story, dude, but the White House, you know, we've been saying for a long time, they've got a web page for the White House like no one's ever seen in this country before.
Just trolling constantly?
Yes. Yeah, trolling constantly is exactly right. So let me play this video for you. This will set up what has recently been put out on the White House website.
Great. The White House today launched a new fake news portal, which I found interesting. What is your objective with that, ultimately? And are you going to name the news networks? And are you also going to name some of the correspondents, some which may be here today?
All right, here's her answer on that. Can you, first of all, can you believe it? It is true, but she'll comment on it for you.
Oh, I can believe it. And you see that shit-eating smirk on her face?
Oh, yeah. She just couldn't wait to be asked this question. I mean, the way she leads off with her answer, you can tell. She's been waiting for someone to bring this up, and she may have said, hey, bring this up when we
speak. Yes, we are. I'm glad you noticed. Much to the dismay of some of your colleagues in the room, John. And I think it goes to our original promise on day one to hold the media accountable, because unfortunately, and we deal with this all day, every day around here, there are so many fake stories that are unfortunately written that have inaccurate characterizations of meetings that took place. And it's all based on anonymous sourcing. And, you know, the standard for journalism, unfortunately, has dropped to such a historic low in this country. And again, we deal with it every day, where you can have an anonymous source who has no idea what they're talking about, zero credibility, call up a reporter in Washington and say, hey, I heard this. And then the next thing you know, it's on the front page of the New York Times. It's really incomprehensible. We appreciate the journalists, some of those who are in this room, who do reach out for comment, who try to get things right. And there are some that remain.
Fuck you. Are we on?
Yeah, it's really the only way to put it. I mean, come on, dude. This is just freaking nuts, dude.
I love that you pulled that clip from Fox News and that logo was over her face that whole time.
Fantastic.
You know, the original fake news, you know, fucking bullshit. I'm sorry. I'm swearing a lot today.
That's all right.
This stupid website has just been full of teenage trolling, immature antics, and it's driving me a little nuts.
Yeah, this is the video when you first sign into the portal.
Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You're required to, yeah.
You must refuse illegal orders.
Yeah. I don't know how that's seditious, you know,
because they keep trying to say that, you know, they're saying to defy the president. Yeah. No, they're stating the fact that you have to defy an illegal order, not a legal order. And all these Republicans that keep saying, like, show us an example of an illegal order. Well, it's headline news today now, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, and there's been so many. I asked ChatGPT, okay? The first thing that he brought up, let me get out of this, dude. Yeah, the first thing he brought up was, oh, the query about Kilmer or Brego Garcia. Okay, yeah. So we know that was illegal orders, right? Because they had to do something about it. They deported him in March of 2025, and they had to end up bringing him back. There's been tons of illegal action, things that have happened with ICE that have, you know, here's the thing. Judges are saying things are illegal, and Trump has continuously ignored a lot of these things that judges, that he thinks are just wacko crazy judges, are telling him. But the fact of the matter is these things are illegal. They went through a court of law, and a court of law said, this isn't legal. You can't do this.
Yeah, so, I mean, we know some of the National Guard deployments have been deemed illegal.
Yep.
I did a story over the Thanksgiving break that I've seen get very little traction, but a 19-year-old college kid was deported, you know, woke up in Boston, heading home to Texas to celebrate Thanksgiving. They arrested and deported her to rural Honduras, like in that same 24-hour window.
Right.
Even though a federal judge told them, not only can you not deport her, you can't even transfer her out of Massachusetts. They completely ignored it, put her as far away from Massachusetts as you can get. They put her in fucking Honduras. Like, how is that not a constitutional crisis?
Right.
You got, they're ignoring a federal judge's orders.
And like you said today, Alina Haba, a New Jersey prosecutor appointment, Trump appointed lawyer. Federal appeals court ruled unlawful, disqualified her in December 2025. It's where we are right now, upholding the lower court. There has been all kinds of illegal things that have happened that we can go through. So for you to put seditious and, you know, this is bullshit, you have to do what the president tells you, is outrageous, dude.
Just remember, every time Trump World accuses somebody of something, they are almost always projecting.
Completely.
It's always stuff they're doing that they accuse the other side of.
Yes.
So all this sedition talk and all this un-American talk and all the traitor talk, like, it's because they know they're doing it. So they're trying to, well, hey, they're seditious, we're seditious, everyone's seditious, right? Yeah. It's all a wash, right?
Have you ever heard of a podcast called The Necessary Conversation?
I have not.
All right. This is a podcast that a brother and sister do. They're both liberal, and their parents are huge MAGA Trump people.
Ouch. Yeah.
And they have these conversations. And, I mean, they don't really turn out to be conversations because their parents are so far in the cult. But they were asking them about this, you know, these people that came out and said, like, you don't have to follow illegal orders. And they said that they should, the dad said they should be murdered and killed, you know,
his
for
kids?
What they've done. No, these, all the people that stood up, you know, all these vets and the
Democrats. Okay.
Yeah, Democrats. Yeah.
They should be murdered.
They should be murdered.
That's what the president said, too.
Completely, yeah.
I mean, murdered, hung.
Yeah, hung, but I've never seen anyone hung that didn't die, you know, but.
Yeah, there's a difference between murder and execution, technically. The result is the same.
Yes. Well, and the mother said, you know, they should be put in jail forever, like they're traitors to their country. And this guy, Chad, gave him a lot of questions like, you know, if the president said you need to go out and just kill these people in Chicago. And both of the parents were like, yeah. I mean, if he says it, it must be for a reason. Like, we have full trust in him. I'm like, yeah, that's a dictator, dude. That's following someone that you can't trust, but, oh, yeah, you can trust him because you think everything he does is right. So,
and there's so much of this that is currently backfiring on them and will in the long run. All of a sudden, Mark Kelly is now a contender for president in 2028.
Yeah.
That whole little video, the seditious thing, that was a little blip on the radar. No one hardly even noticed it happened.
Yeah.
And then this became a huge story because the Trump World decided to propagandize it. And now, yeah, all of a sudden everyone's looking at Mark Kelly like, I think this guy could be president, you know?
Completely. Yeah.
And he could be. I would be fine with that. Right now, my choices are Gavin Newsom and Mark Kelly. I'm all for either of them. So.
My wife picked Mark Kelly before Kamala's name got thrown into it. Remember we were having that conversation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a perfect choice. American hero, vet, astronaut, Gabby Giffords, victim of gun violence, they're both elected officials. I mean, we've talked about electability. He's a, you know, nice middle-aged white dude. Like, I mean, he could really clean their clock. So they would be smart to shut the hell up. But spoiler alert, they're not smart.
Yeah. No, they're not going to. And based off what Lev said, like you said a little earlier, he said they're going to slow roll this so they can plan it just right for the midterms. It's exactly what we're seeing, dude. So
absolutely. Well, good stuff.
So there you go.
On this topic, I mean, the whole Venezuela thing, this narco terrorist, the cartels, it is a smokescreen. That is not at all what this is about, but it's what they're claiming it's about. And even today, the video you played, like 91% reduction in drug boats and whatnot. I mean, how does any MAGA types out there, and I know we occasionally get some trolls in our comments here, so if any of you morons are listening, please try to tell me, how are you justifying Trump pardoning a convicted drug dealer who apparently siphoned, you know, tons and tons of cocaine into our country? I'm talking about the ex-Honduran president, Juan Orlando Hernandez, who has now, as of today, officially been pardoned and let out of jail here in America.
Yeah, you want to see him walking out and greeting the crowd? I mean, this is really sickening, dude. Go, Tapper, go. Come on.
Tuesday morning, a man named Juan Orlando Hernandez was freed from United States Penitentiary Hazleton in West Virginia. Now, you may have heard of him. He's the former president of Honduras, and he had been sentenced in a U.S. criminal court to 45 years in prison for, according to prosecutors, quote, helping to facilitate the importation of an almost unfathomable 400 tons of cocaine to this country and billions of individual doses sent to the U.S. with the protection and support of the former president of Honduras. This act of clemency, this pardoning, this freeing of a man who received millions of dollars in bribes to help 400 tons of cocaine come to the United States comes at the same time that President Trump and the Pentagon are waging this war against narco traffickers allegedly coming from Venezuela. Strikes, military strikes that are of questionable.
First of all, I love C-Tapper casual. The hoodie, you look good, Jake. So that's nice. But yeah, how do you, you know, round that square peg there?
Well,
Have you heard, you know, what Trump's response is? I don't know if you have that audio or not.
I mean, I know that I've heard Trump saying, you know, this was all, you know, the Biden setting him up and everything.
I've got the
else.
Quote here.
Okay.
According to many people that I greatly respect. Treated very harshly and unfairly. Oh, God forbid we treat a corrupt president harshly and unfairly. Yeah. They said it was a Biden setup. And I don't mean Biden. Look, Biden didn't know he was alive, but it was the people that surround the Resolute Desk, surround Biden when he was there. Again, more projecting. Biden didn't know. It's the people around him that know. It's because Trump knows. He doesn't pay attention to half the crap they're spewing out. It's all fucking Stephen Miller and anyone else. Like,
yes. He said this was Roger Stone. You know, this was just influenced by advisor Roger Stone. I mean, that's crazy, dude. That's absolutely crazy. We know. Yes. We have all the facts. A jury sentenced him, you know, said, hey, we found him guilty, dude. We know he's done this. Yes.
Like, I mean, it's absurd. I don't know another president that has ever pardoned a convicted drug dealer, let alone one that was a corrupt president of another country. But that's the thing right there.
Yeah.
That's why he did it.
Yeah.
It's a corrupt president. And our corrupt president wants to try to make all of us think that all of the accusations against any president has to be a witch hunt. It's got to be the Democrats going after them, just like they're going after me. So he's constantly trying to pardon other corrupt officials, whether it's George Santos or, you know, someone like this guy, like just because he thinks it makes him look better and he thinks that it makes his conspiracy theories look plausible.
Yeah. And he said, Trump even says, like, you know, these people are basically just mean. I mean, they took it too far. They took this was all just a setup, you
they
know,
were harsh to him.
Too harsh, dude. Hernandez's brother was also convicted earlier for 165 tons of cocaine. The pardon aligns with Trump's recent clemencies, George Santos, and more. He was extradited in 2022 and appealing when pardoned. But it's just absolutely nuts to see that guy walk out and then think about all the stuff that's happening in Venezuela. And my head hurts, dude. I'm being gaslit. None of this fucking makes sense.
No. No, it does not make sense. Although it probably makes dollars and cents. Because I'm sure somebody in whatever world this is funneling money to them. And, you know, I mean, it's a pay-for-play presidency we got going on right now.
Yeah, completely. Why would this guy get 45 years in prison? And that it was just Biden set up. See, dude, this is what I'm talking about. You can't. It's so hard to fight back when you're not fighting back facts.
Yes. He could just blame everything on Santa Claus. It would be the same argument.
The story that we did right before this with this new White House portal, you know, highlighting stupid, wrong media, all, you know, all this. This is all part of the plan to tear all this apart, to be like, yeah, these are people reporting on stuff that they have no idea. So claiming there's no facts here. So, yeah, this is all part of the plan. And it's just spinning my head. I'm getting real tired.
That's the problem, though. It's what they're trying to do. It's what Trump is actually good at, is overwhelming the news cycle, putting so much stuff out there. The good, normal people are just like, I got to walk away from this. It's too much. It's nauseating. And you can't focus on any one thing if there's a zillion things being thrown at you.
Yeah.
You know, if someone's going to shoot a bullet at you, you might be able to dodge one. But if they're just spraying bullets everywhere, eventually you're like, just fucking kill me then. Never mind.
This is a spray and pray, dude. That's exactly, you're exactly right. That's what it is. He's just throwing shit out. We call it the cat laser. We haven't heard anything about the Epstein files for about a week now. So,
yeah, look at this. 400 tons of the cocaine. 200 for Junior's left nostril, 200 for his right nostril.
And we know. I mean, I'll report on that. That's pretty factual, dude.
Yes. And what is up with the Epstein files? The clock is ticking. They got 30 days to release that. We got to be, what, 2 weeks into this now, right?
Yeah, don't hold your breath.
Well, we know they're redacting the crap out of it. $1 million in overtime to FBI agents redacting these files, we've learned.
Like, yeah.
Come on. But we still got to get the bullshit out so we can then dissect that, because there are people that know what is under those blackout things. And it's just going to beg a whistleblower to do their thing if they think that Trump is trying to get away with something.
Who do we trust at this point, dude? You know, here's what I think. These files are going to be so torn apart that when we actually get the files dropped on us, no one's going to believe them, because, you know, they've messed with everything. Think about back to when, you know, Epstein was in jail and committed suicide, and they had all the video. And they had a minute, they released it with a minute or more of video missing. Then they found it. Then they went back. First, they didn't have cameras in there. Like, all of this
is. They tried to claim that's how the system worked.
Yes.
Every night at midnight, there's that 1 minute missing.
Yeah, yeah. It has to refresh, has to do its thing. But all of this stuff has already been so tainted. So when it's released, people are just going to be, again, swimming. Like, what can we believe? What's real in here? What's fake? So we're demanding these files, and I have no idea what we're going to get when we get them.
Well, I mean, the good news in what you're saying is that there are so many people in the MAGA world that want these files, too. So if it's going to look tainted, you know, you're not going to get – people aren't going to stop talking about it. Whether you're on the left or right or whatever, if you're going to release a bunch of bullshit, it's going to stay in the news cycle and it's going to stay relevant. So.
Yeah.
Obviously, it would just be better to put it all out there. But, and again, we had some troll in one of our last episodes commenting, like, how come you guys aren't talking about Hakeem Jeffries and Clinton and all that? Like, apparently you're not listening, because we are. If there's any guilty Democrats in there, we want them outed too. Unlike your world, we're not going to circle the wagons and protect pedos. So
yeah.
Bring it on.
And we know even the media reporting on the Epstein files from the, I don't want to say the right side, but, you know, the Republican side. Megyn Kelly reporting that, you know, a 15-year-old is not an 8-year-old. And I think when you're dealing in those numbers, like, it's not any better, Megyn Kelly. So, right. You know, we need people to continue to be pissed off about this. But what will we see? Who knows, dude?
Well, bring it on. Step at a time.
So, yep, that's right. That's the way to do it. Just one step at a time, Stephen.
That's right. Just like dancing.
Yeah.
I do have some more fake number news, if we want to connect that dot.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
We have talked on the show before about these numbers about ICE agents being doxxed and harassed and beaten and whatever, that they, you know, there's an 1,000% increase. There's an 1,100% increase, a 2,000. Again, all these just fake numbers they throw out.
Yeah.
And I keep saying that the reason that problem exists now and it didn't a year ago is because ICE is not what they used to be.
Yeah.
Like, if you see a dramatic spike in hatred towards somebody, maybe you should pause and wonder, gee, what have I done to bring all of this hatred on?
Hmm.
So we talked last week about this new stat they threw out that there was an 1,100% increase. And I didn't dispute it at all, because I'm like, I believe that. Why wouldn't I? ICE has become a Gestapo evilness.
And yeah.
Any person with a heart is against them. You know, if they want to deport people ethically that actually have criminal records and all that, I'm fine. But that's not what they're doing, because cruelty is the point. However, these numbers they've been throwing out, I know you're going to be shocked by this.
Okay.
They're not true.
Really? What do you mean by that, dude? I can't trust it?
A new investigation has debunked the Department of Homeland Security's claim that assaults against immigration enforcement officers, ICE, have skyrocketed this year. The agency said just recently that ICE agents had been assaulted 238 times between late January and November of this year, compared to just 19 times for the same period a year prior, which would represent a 1,153% spike. Although DHS refused to provide any actual facts, any actual statistics, they refused to back any of that up. So The Los Angeles Times did their own analysis, and they have revealed the extent to which DHS appears to be exaggerating those claims of violence against federal officers. A review of court records in L.A., San Diego, Chicago, Washington, D.C., and Portland found that assaults against federal officers are up 26%.
26.
Not 1,000%.
There's a bit of a difference there.
Right. I'm actually would be surprised it's only up 26% given the crap they're out there pulling.
Yeah, they were probably trying to be modest just to make sure that, you know, it was as close to factual as they could get.
Yeah, if you round way, way, way up, I guess that was right. So, yeah, 26%. And again, maybe look at yourself. Like if I told you that, man, there's a 26% spike in my neighbors beating the crap out of me. Like, wouldn't you think, well, what are you doing to your neighbor, Steve? Are you bringing this on? They're just finding you and beating you up? Well, no, I'm over there pissing on their fence and I'm throwing stuff through their windows and I'm beating up their kids and all of a sudden they're coming after me. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, I guess it is. It's a good reminder to really look at what's causing all of this. And there seems to be one thing.
Yes, you.
It's interesting, though, dude, because you heard President Trump say, like, drugs coming in through our waterways are down 91% today, you know. He has said that they're close to zero, okay? But he's also said a couple of weeks ago that President Trump shut the fentanyl pipeline off.
Yes.
No more coming through. Yep. And let me tell you, I was thinking about this last night in kind of a sad way. I have somebody in my family affected by fentanyl, and they still seem to be very affected by fentanyl. So somehow they're still getting it, you know.
Well, but that's the point I've been saying about all this stuff, whether it is this corrupt president or these pipelines or the narco terrorists. Like, they're only bringing it here because the market is allowing it. It's supply and demand. You're never going to just stop the flow of drugs because people want them.
Yeah.
So therefore, whether the price goes up or down, whatever they got to do to get them here, they will get them here. And a little boat in the ocean is not the main pipeline.
No.
So please, there's planes, trains, and automobiles. I think it was a documentary about drug traveling. But those are all valid ways.
That was
to get
Thanksgiving
drugs
comedy, Steve. I think you have that mixed up. Yeah.
Yeah, got that wrong. But yeah, so of course the fentanyl supply. Like, are overdoses at zero all of a sudden? Are there 91% decrease?
That's what I mean. We haven't seen anything about any of that. So, you know, this is all just a bunch of bullshit. And the masses know this. You know, I think the people on the left and the center, you know, independents, I think we know this, but there's still that frickin' cult, dude, that we're dealing with.
Now, that was another thing Lev said yesterday, that the center is gone. They have given up on Trump. But we all got to stop trying to think that this mega base is ever going to go away.
Yeah.
You know, he was saying that the part of their plan back in the first term was to ignite these people out of hibernation.
Yeah.
So the best case is we just force them back into hibernation because they don't have a good candidate anymore, someone to believe in. So you're not going to get rid of them, but we just got to push them off to the side so the rest of us adults can elect people and move forward.
Yeah. Be done with it. That's the dream anyway.
Someday, some way.
Hey, dude, have you ever heard of a bar called the Old State Saloon?
No. Should I have?
This came out a couple of days ago, and it just shows you one more time how much hate resides in our country. I'm in Washington State, so we border Idaho and a little town called Eagle, Idaho. Doesn't take that long for me to get to. This is a story out of Eagle, Idaho. Let's see.
Imagine being a business, a bar nonetheless, and running on hate. Old State Saloon, a bar near Boise, Idaho, is doing just that right now. They are offering people 1 month of free beer at their establishment, shared the following message on social media. Anyone who helps ICE identify and ultimately deport an illegal from Idaho gets free beer for 1 month at Old State Saloon. The business going as far as to say that if one person gets more than one deported, they may be eligible for months on end to get free beer. Oh, wait, it gets more disgusting. The bar then goes on to offer a free beer to any undocumented immigrant that self-deports. Old State Saloon wanted the attention. Let's give it to them.
Yeah, let's give it to them.
I was going to say, let's have the free market backfire, because most of these people that embrace that, they see the con outweighs the pro. Now, I know it's, you know, potentially BFE Idaho. Maybe there are, you know, are people that will support that kind of thing. But
yeah,
yeah, this screw is that.
This is Eagle, Idaho. It's full of white supremacists and Aryan Brotherhood. I mean, it's a dark place. So I think there's a lot of people there that, you know, get off on this shit. But
right. I was going to say with Sean here, that racist bar got a slew of one-star reviews on Yelp, which is funny. But how many people in BFE, Idaho are reading Yelp reviews before right. they decide between the two hole-in-the-wall bars they got to choose from? So
yeah. No.
But yeah, there was a lot of restaurants in the bigger cities, Chicago and Portland, that denied service to ICE. And because of that, a bunch of people went and supported those businesses. So, you know, good luck with that. But also, how many illegal immigrants, quote-unquote, are in BFE, Idaho? You got three of them. Like, how far is this plane going to go?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's more just to rally up the troops. You know, this bar also held a lot of, after Charlie Kirk, you know, was shot, they held a bunch of stuff talking about where does the country go from here. So, I mean, they're MAGAs, obviously, but
maybe they can get by on just hosting Klan rallies and whatnot. So, you know, good luck if that's your motive.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, screw them.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question here.
Okay.
What do you think? Have you ever had a day where you're just kind of bored sitting around posting on social media?
I mean, I think probably the most was, you know, maybe one or two times, but nowhere in the hundreds. Never. No.
If that's I will tell talking. You, I mean, even for businesses, I mean, I have been running a social media news site, you and I at the radio station, you know, we had social media stuff when we had events coming up and we'd have to post a lot of stuff. I can maybe think of a day where maybe I did like 10 posts or whatever, which is an excessive amount.
Sure.
But our dementia ridden grandpa president last night tweeted and or retweeted over 160 times.
Yes.
Like late last night, he was averaging a tweet or a retweet once a minute.
Yeah, he started at 7 p.m. and right. just kept going all night.
How do you do over 160 posts? I mean, first of all, how do you have that free time? You're supposed to be the president running the country. You're just sitting around rage tweeting constantly. And yeah, if my kids did that, I would take that freaking phone away, get them therapy, and just be like, what in the hell is wrong with you? You posted 160 times?
Well, we know what's wrong with them, dude. Okay. Despite having a perfect MRI, we know that this is a president dealing with mental illness on some level. And this is anyway. It's crazy. I mean, all the shit that he was talking about was mainly conspiracy theories, you know.
One of the things he retweeted was about Obama being, you know, put up on a military tribunal. Apparently, Grandpa Donnie has forgotten that because of his Supreme Court, presidents have immunity.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just disgusting all the way around, but it's not even practical.
Yeah. He didn't realize that passed on or was, for past right. presidents as well.
Yes. But seriously, over 160 times. I'm sure all sitting on his golden toilet, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure. Content heavily featured attacks on Democrats like Senator Mark Kelly, Representative Ilhan Omar, Nancy Pelosi, including baseless January 6th claims, Joe Biden, Gavin Newsom, Eric Holder, alongside conspiracy theories such as Michelle Obama using Biden's auto pen for pardons and doubts about Omar's citizenship. He's saying that Ilhan Omar fucked her brother to get into the country. Trump amplified MAGA support videos praising his policies, deportation plans, takeover of Minnesota, shared multiple tributes to Melania Trump, set to She's a Lady, reposted his Home Alone 2 cameo with Christmas is officially great again, and urged votes in Tennessee's 7th District special election. He resumed posting early December 2nd, declaring Truth Social is the best in all caps.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So that's the ramblings of a madman, dude.
Thank you. Yes. Good. That Lord. Is what an insane person does.
This article calls it the spree erratic. I mean, that's at the very least of things. This is crazy, dude, that he spent that long posting stuff like that. I could just see him pressing his phone, you know.
It is literally crazy.
Yeah. I mean,
take the phone away.
Yes, please. We all want to out. We want off the ride. Please.
I have a alternative suggestion for him and or anyone in our audience if you're looking for a new job with the IRS.
Sure.
I know a lot of us have previous experience in this field. IRS agents will be required to watch pornographic content on OnlyFans. Do you know why?
What are you talking about, dude? Because they're not paying taxes?
That's the real thing. So IRS agents are going to be required to watch porn on OnlyFans to determine if the content meets the no tax on tips law that was part of the Big Beautiful Bill. The new law included a caveat about these tips, because if you're on OnlyFans and someone's throwing you a buck or two here and there, that would be counted as a tip. But there was a caveat. Pornographic creators and actors, including OnlyFans influencers, are not entitled to have those taxes waived on their tips. But defining pornography, that's the problem. So it is often proven difficult for lawmakers, meaning it usually has to be judged on a case-by-case basis. When the First Amendment is used to defend pornography in court, lawmakers have to view the material in question to make a judgment. That means the taxpayers who report tips from OnlyFans will likely need to have their content viewed by an IRS agent.
That's hysterical, dude. I mean, come on. Can you imagine?
I do have prior experience. I would be willing to volunteer my time. Like, I think I'm a good judge of that. But
yeah, I don't know if you have the free time for it, dude.
Apparently our IRS agents do or are going to have to.
Yeah. Well,
can you imagine how many tax returns are going to be stuck together in those offices?
Oh, like, that is nasty to think about. That's hysterical, dude. That's what's happening. I mean, that's important to take care of right now.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some IRS agents going, oh, I can do it. Don't have to hide my browser every time someone walks
right.
by now.
Yeah. They're going to have to change the firewall at work. You have permission.
Yes,
that's interesting. So
put that on your resume.
Yeah, I will, dude. I could use a little part-time work always, you know, always looking to make an extra buck. Hey, let's talk a little bit about Washington's home pride. We call it Costco. Okay.
Yes.
Costco's got some great things happening right now. Here's a quick video and then we can discuss.
In a 17-page lawsuit filed Friday against U.S. Customs and Border Protection, Costco said it has to act now because it's facing a December 15th deadline for a final tally of its tariffs this year, and that Customs has already denied Costco's request for an extension, given that these tariffs are being litigated in the Supreme Court right now. So the company also says that firms that paid these tariffs under the law in question are not necessarily going to be granted refunds unless they take independent action against the government, which is why they're doing this. Costco is asking the U.S. Court of International Trade for a declaration that collecting tariffs under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, as the Trump administration has done in many cases, is actually illegal. And the company wants an injunction blocking further duties, as well as a full refund of all tariffs paid under the statute this year.
That's interesting. Awesome. I mean, Costco's been a company that stood up to Trump from day one. You know, they didn't get rid of DEI. They support their workers better than most companies. It's a great, great company to work for. And now you see them standing up like this, and I think it's a wonderful thing. That it ends up in the Supreme Court's hands scares me because, sure, you know, what are we going to get out of it? But it makes a statement at the very least.
Yeah, and I don't know what would happen first, because the Supreme Court is probably going to strike these tariffs down based on the oral arguments that, you know, happened a month or so back.
Yeah.
So I don't know when that decision is due to come down, which of these, you know, lawsuits may come through first. But, yeah, I mean, kudos to Costco because they're putting their necks out there. And, yeah, they have always kind of stood up to Trump world. And doesn't Costco have some crazy return policy where you can return stuff years later?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's supposed to be a no questions asked return policy. And,
right.
You know.
And I don't think the Trump administration has that same policy. So I'm glad Costco's stepping up now.
Yes.
And asking for their fucking money back. Because again, people, tariffs, you know, Trump talk about we've raised trillions, like, on the backs of American companies and the American consumer. So we need more companies that have some cojones. So it is great. So I assume everyone on this show is going to go support Costco even more.
Yeah, I hope they do. I mean, anyone who's going to stand up, we need. Oh, that's what we're always saying, dude. Get vocal. We're all part of the resistance here. You joined the podcast today. You're in the chat. You're talking about it. We're, you know, talking about ideas and where we go from here. Costco's somebody who has a huge piggy bank and a lot of power that's standing up. So get behind them and support them even more than you already have, or maybe you never did. But now's the time.
Yes. Can we, I don't know, imprison Trump regime in bulk, Costco style? Like,
I wish I could.
And all those people.
Yeah.
And someone was just saying they don't have a Costco near them. They do have some online stuff. I don't know what you have to do to get that membership for online, but even if it's just the travel agency portion of Costco, I know that's kind of open to the public on the website.
Yeah, they've always got great stuff on there. So, yeah, you can get them online for sure.
Yeah, but no, kudos to them. I hope they win. It would be a good victory for all of us.
Yep. 100%. Well, gosh, more to cover, but out of time. That's how this show usually ends up, right?
Yes. I love this comment. Walmart's a great source for cheap shit that's easy to steal. Not encouraging that. It's a funny joke, though.
It's very funny. Yeah.
All right. If you want to message Nick and I directly, you can go to thevocalminority.net. There's info on there. You can find our individual social medias just for this podcast. But, yep, we're all over the Really American platform as well. A lot of good independent journalism happening at Really American. Like I mentioned at the start, a lot of new talent coming on because the channel is blowing up. So be part of that. And if anyone is listening and you haven't subscribed, please do that. Yeah. We're so close to hitting 1 million subscribers, and that puts us in a whole new level. So help us get there.
Helps the cause for sure. And we talked a little bit about the new White House portal today. They're talking about media outlets that are untrustworthy. I would say that that list is probably a good list to be on. You know?
I would love it if we could get on that. So let's see what we can do for all of that. But, yep, support it all. So thanks for getting vocal.
All right. We'll see you Friday. We do two podcasts every week here. Thanks, chat. And, subscribe to Really American Media.
And that'll do it for another edition of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Thanks for joining us on the Really American Media platform. Check out all our social media wherever good social media is found. Until next time, you tiny little bastards, good day.
Good day.